Board of Education meeting of August 21st, 2012. Opening statement pursuant to New Jersey Administrative Code Title 10, Chapter 4, Subchapter 10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press and the Co-Star and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Would you please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Mrs. Hahn.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Here.
Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Mrs. Degenspang? Mrs. DePalma?
Here.
Mr. Fury? Mrs. LaSalla?
Here.
Mr. Shelton?
Here.
Mrs. Verdi?
Here.
Mrs. Walsh?
Here.
Mr. Wintersteller? We have a quorum.
Okay, a little bit of housekeeping. Mrs. Degenspang and Mr. Fury had a conflict of schedule, and Mr. Wintersteller is representing us at the Boat Parade. Actually, a conflict of schedule as well. Okay. Mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission statement is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards, aligned to the New Jersey core curriculum content standards, and function within a community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Statement to the public. Oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then referred to the appropriate board committee. The members of the board committee work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that the members fully understand the matter. When the committee is satisfied with the matter, it is presented to the Board of Education for discussion before any final action is taken. Only then is it placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Mrs. Martin, am I going through this part or?
Yes.
On the acceptance of minutes? Mm-hmm. Okay, so next week we'll be doing the acceptance of minutes.
And they will be distributed by email this week. She didn't have me finished for tonight.
Okay, and we now have a presentation for strategic planning. Would you like to?
Sure. As you know, we're beginning strategic planning this September, and New Jersey School Boards Association is facilitating it. One of the requirements, we needed to identify an in-district person to be the in-district liaison to the school boards, and it could not be the superintendent or board member. So I asked Mr. Jason Bryant, who is a social studies teacher at the high school, teaches our AP classes, and to take that role. He's also a community member. He lives in Manasquan. He has one child in the district and another one that will be here. So Jason, I want to thank you for doing this, and he's going to get up and just do just a little explanation of the process.
Thanks for this opportunity, and we already had met with Mrs. Lasalle. You said you went through the process already at a training organization?
Well, I didn't go through the process, but in Atlantic City at a school boards association convention, myself, Mrs. Verdi, attended a 40-minute presentation on strategic planning.
Well, one of the things I took away from that brief meeting we had was just how excited you were about the process and reading through the literature and getting involved in this over the course of the last couple of months. I have to say I'm pretty excited about it too. For those of you who aren't familiar with strategic planning, it's a bottom-up process that allows all members of the community, both internally within the school and external members of all the sending districts identifying basically the goals, the visions, and the mission they would like to see in the school. One of the things that they're going to be doing is dividing up into two initial groups, and that's one, first the state of the school, and also the state of the community. We'll be asking for volunteers. Representatives from the New Jersey School Board Association will be here on the opening day, which I believe is the 4th of September, and then we'll have our big kickoff on September 26th. We invite members of the community into the board meeting, basically, with representatives explain the process and ask for volunteers. One of the things I think really interesting and exciting about it is just getting that the community members involved and having them identify what they see as the culture, the climate of the school, of the community, what issues they perceive. Maybe taking us outside of the box that we're thinking in that deals with things mostly involved with core curriculum, park, and all those other things we've been thinking about. But for me, I'm very interested in being a community liaison. I've worked in a number of different schools. This one, of course, has been the best experience. And I think that it's going to be allow me to go back to something I started doing when I was first teaching, which is working with a lot of different community resources and agencies in a different setting than this, but drawing on those experiences. And it's going to be a very good thing. If you have any questions about it, I have a contact sheet up here. Please feel free to email me. It's probably the easiest way to contact me, or reach out on the district telephone. I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can. But I think it's going to be a really worthwhile process. And again, Mrs. Asala, you had said how excited you are. And as I read more and more and read that's about it and get into it, it's an exciting process. I think it's going to energize the community and really portray what we're doing here in a positive light, and as well as allow the community to control some of the resources and decision making. But thank you very much, unless there's any other questions.
Thank you very much, Jason. Appreciate it. And just for the board members, not to cut you off, but it will be a blueprint for us and for future boards so that we know what the vision is from the community for the school.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Jason, what was your last name?
My last name is Brian. You're a Y and
it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
That's a really good. Oh, okay, no problem. That's a
gotcha.
Really good point.
Gotcha. Okay.
This is establishing a vision, and will be the template for school.
Just for those people who are in the audience, there is a flyer, and the board also just received it. It should be in your little pile. I just passed it out to you. Jason's been already doing some work to develop a newsletter. The one correction, and I did tell the co-star, but Charlie, you should know too, that the September 26th meeting on here states at the high school, but it will be here at the elementary school, and we'll make that change before we get that out to anybody else. Okay, so. Kathy Weinkoff and I hope the two other facilitators that are working with her will be coming to that meeting, and they will be explaining the entire process so that we can have a kickoff for that. Thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Okay, next I'd like to give an update on our district goals. This should be also in your packet of information. The top of it will say facilities district goal. We started the process a few meetings ago. I just would like to give the board an update as to where we are. So far, facilities has set their district goal. Asset management district goal is part of an extension. We added one, actually, as a result of what we discussed in the facilities meetings. And the community district goal has been set. Student achievement and technology are scheduled to meet this week. And hopefully, we can get their information and input. And I'm hoping that by the 28th, and if not the 28th, certainly the first meeting in September, we can wrap the process up. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Moving on to policy update. I'm not going to read through our minutes. I spoke with Superintendent Margin, and I think what we will be doing from now on, if it's okay with the board, is to have the minutes attached to the board minutes. Rather than me reading to all of you, I'm sure that will make you happy. There's a summary page at the end. I just want to go over the summary so that the board understands what came out of the last policy meeting that was held on August 13th. If you turn to the second page on the bottom, you will see summary. Okay. Number one, the committee would like the board to approve the following recommendations. Number one, student good standing will be removed as a policy and be an administrative agreement to be used at the discretion of the administrator's discretion. We are not taking student good standing away. It will just no longer be in the board policies. Number two, all students attending vocational schools will be placed in the random drug testing pool to bring us in compliance with our current policy. Number three, We've instructed the superintendent to have the district staff implement and define the process by which students attending the vocational schools and participating in extracurricular activities at Manasquan High School will be tested. Number four, we've instructed the superintendent to make the appropriate district staff available to the board when matters of student discipline, student behavior issues, and random drug testing are placed on agendas for discussion or possible changes. Number five, we've directed the superintendent to instruct district staff to begin testing those students found to be under suspicion for synthetic drug use. Number six, number six is going to be blacked out. We're not pursuing that, okay? All of these recommendations are detailed in here as to how we derived at those decisions, so look them over, and if the board has any questions from that, we can bring them back next week before we adopt these changes. Any questions? Okay, Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Building grounds.
I've handed out a brief building grounds report to each one of you. I'll read it quickly for those in the public. As of today, the high school roof replacement issue, the roof replacement is progressing as quickly as is possible. The project is just slightly behind schedule due to weather delays as well as delays in some of the material deliveries. The liquid membrane necessary to complete Roof 5, which is the boiler roof in the back of the high school, as well as 6, which is the new addition to the high school, is expected to arrive on Monday. The parapet flashing material necessary to complete all of the roof areas is due to arrive within a 2-week time frame. New gutters and leaders need to be installed on the original high school roof, which is roof number 4, as previously referred to, and is anticipated that this work will be completed this Saturday. The brick type and color has been selected and can now be ordered. The final dumpster will be removed tomorrow from the rear parking lot so that construction materials, so that freshman orientation can utilize the lot. So the lot will be completely cleared and free for use. With respect to the school opening schedule, the teachers have in-service day on September 4th. I think that's correct, right? And the students arrive on the 5th. Mm-hmm. Roof work that will still be ongoing will not interfere with the school day, as it can all be done from the roof level. So there's no interference with classroom activity, with school activity. So we should be good to go. Close to the finish line there. The elementary school boiler replacement, the boilers have been put in place. They're on concrete slabs. In the elementary school, the work still to be completed includes a gas connection, the piping for the system, which has been started, the installation of the chimney liner, which they're still expecting delivery of, and the completion. Bernie has expressed to me that he is still hopeful, kind of, that it'll be done before school. Likely it will run over a little bit, but that we should be fine. So both projects are progressing rather well. One other item I wanted to add and maybe chat with the board a little bit about tonight is the idea. Some of us have spoken, we've spoken about it in the past, of the idea of doing a walkthrough from a building and grounds committee and even finance as well, because the two are interrelated, of doing, and Peg, we spoke about the to-do list that Bernie generated and you generated. Mm-hmm. The idea of, as a board member, some of us are really not even familiar with some of the full layout of the school, indoor as well as outdoor. But maybe if we could schedule a walkthrough with building grounds, with myself and others if interested, maybe somebody from finance again, with Bernie primarily. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time before school starts. This should happen before school. If it's at all possible to do in the near future,
I think that's
it'd be a
great
idea to do that.
Mm-hmm. Would the board, if we could do this in a, well, buildings and grounds, obviously, Tom, you know, chairperson, you would be available.
Yes.
From finance, I don't know, Linda, how you feel about walking around, but Mike, would you be
That's
interested
fine.
In walking around with Mr. Bauer? And
That's
then,
fine.
Interested, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would be the three that, Peg, can we make this work?
And, when do you want to do this, Tom?
I believe on Monday at 8 o'clock, so maybe we could do it after the finance meeting on Monday. Could we do
Monday's
that?
Tough. Understand. I was going to, you know, and I know time is of the essence here, but the this week is much better for me than next week. I don't know if it's possible.
Same here, yeah.
It's possible this week.
They have a lot in the hallways and stuff this week.
That's a problem. I don't think they're going to be looking at what's movable. I mean, obviously, you'd be able to tell that's not
outside
a facilities
issue. Outside and in, Tom, both? Inside, out? Or?
Inside and out, I was thinking, yes.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you on the shore tomorrow or are you back in the city?
I'm here tomorrow.
I'm here tomorrow.
I was out in the city today. I'm done for the week in the city. I'm good. I'm good.
Do you want to get back? Yeah, tomorrow? I just want to check.
That's fine. Yeah.
Well, I'm not just calling in tomorrow either, but I have to check his schedule.
Okay, we can talk.
Because I don't want to commit him to, he may have vendors, I don't know what his schedule is, right?
Yeah, Bernie's essential, yeah.
He has all the keys, yeah. So I don't know what, I don't want to commit him to that, not knowing what his schedule is.
Okay.
For those people that are not aware, we're talking about Bernie, like Bernie Bigley is our maintenance, head of, supervisor of maintenance, is that right?
What is his title, facilities director?
Buildings and ground supervisor.
Building and ground supervisor, yeah. Okay.
So where do we stand with this? We're going to be checking Mr. Bigley's schedule?
You just call me.
Okay, okay.
Mrs. Margin, we're going to be checking Mr. Bigley's schedule, is that where we stand with this?
Mrs. Hom is out the rest of the week, so I will get back to board members.
Right, I don't think we need Peg, if Mrs. Hom is not here, I don't think that's.
No, I know.
Yeah, except I know Bernie usually likes me to go with them when they do the tour.
I'll be available.
Great, I think the sooner the better. And if you guys are available, I think that makes sense. Okay, so we'll pursue that for this week, correct? Okay, great idea, Tom.
Thank you.
All right.
That's it.
All right, at this point, there's really no superintendent's report for this evening.
Okay, so we'll have a public comment on the agenda. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and/or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. If you'd like to make a comment, please step to the microphone and state your name and your address. Oh, do I have to have a motion?
No.
Okay. Okay, seeing no one. Mrs. Margin?
Okay. Item 03, elementary personnel. I'll give you a moment to look at it and if you have any questions. Item 4, there are
Excuse me, Mrs. Verdi has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Number one, is that someone that we're kind of rehiring or?
Yes.
It is a rehire?
Yes, it is a rehire.
Okay.
And number three, these are the teachers that are pairing for the inclusion classes, and they requested that if they could get together one day prior to the beginning of school to really talk through how they're going to work together. They have gone to the conferences, but they really asked for one day of quiet working together. So I think that's a good
Martin,
idea.
Mrs. Martin, also, I just noticed that I have an agenda in my yellow folder, and this is the one that came out of here. The one in the yellow folder does not have the teachers that I believe that you're mentioning, right?
Yeah, and they're all numbered 00.
Yeah, I had a question with that.
You know what? I don't know why you have that. Use the one in your binder.
Use the one in our binder?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All righty.
She got a three from.
Sorry. Yeah, please use the one in your binder.
Okay.
Okay, no problem.
That was probably left over from some other time they didn't take it out. 04, there are right now no elementary professional days, but we will have some by next week. 05, we're setting the tuition. This is the approval. This is an employee who has requested to have their child attend the elementary school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 06, early childhood program is our before school and after school care for children. Parents pay all expenses. 07, our change orders for the boilers. 08, any questions?
Jerry, just because I don't have any background on this, Monmouth County doesn't have a regional educational services commission?
We were with them and we had problems in the past, so we left them and joined Middlesex.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
09, again, this is providing PT for our elementary and secondary special education students strictly from Manasquan. Same with number 10. That's physical therapy, though, PT instead of OT. And number 11.
Mrs. Warren, we have experience with all three of these?
Yes. Yes. They've been working with us for many years. Number 12 is setting the lunch prices for this year.
Jerry, was 12 on this other one, the rental agreement, or am I looking at something different with Atlantic Club? Is that off of here now?
The rental agreement for...
It might be high school.
No, I think it would be under the...
Okay, I'm on the wrong sending district. This was stapled wrong. Use the book, right?
Yeah.
Use the book, yes.
All right, thanks.
Mrs. Ferdy, did you have a question, or are you just raising your hand?
I was raising my hair, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Mrs. Warren.
Number 13, just for an explanation, anytime we change the room use in the building, we need to apply to the county to approve it, because especially if it's dealing with students, there are requirements as far as the number of square footage, the kind of ventilation that's in the room, all those things. So in this particular case, we are using, this has been used for OT for a number of years, but we're bringing in a special education class into this room. Mrs. Thomas contacted the executive county superintendent, and we have basic approval right now?
Not so much for this room. We have it for the in-school suspension room over in the high school. He still wants to come down to this room and see the ventilation.
So we'll pull it if he hasn't been here by next Tuesday.
Yeah. We have to approve it prior to him reviewing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
where is the media
basically
storage?
It's right across the hall.
Oh, okay.
It's to the hall and to the right.
Okay.
Right.
How many students are we talking about?
Two students and a teacher, three
so
people.
So it's better than not in the media room over there, in the library. That's a media
yes.
room calling
yeah. yeah. It's better. It's also, these yep. students are yeah. being mainstreamed, again, because of what is best practice. Least restrictive environment. So they're being mainstreamed back into their classroom as much as possible, their regular classroom. So they're not there all day. They're there in and out for different services as they need them.
So we're waiting approval on, I'm sorry, I didn't
change. Well, Peg just explained we have to get it approved. We have to approve it first.
Right. Oh, he was here for the in-school suspension room, reviewed that. We changed the swing in the door, and he approved it.
Okay.
He hasn't sent us written approval, but he approved it verbally.
Okay.
This room, he just has to come down and check the ventilation, and I am changing the swing in the door because we need to do that in a classroom setting.
Could I just ask board members, when you have a question, just let me call you by name because it's hard for Sandy when she's transcribing the minutes. No. It's a little bit easier if I, so if you could, you know, give me a high sign and we'll get the question. No offense, Mrs. Verdy.
My
but
apologies.
Sandy will appreciate that. Mr. Campbell.
Oh, thank you. on this special education, what grades are they, from 6 to 8?
No, two fourth graders.
Oh, the two fourth, okay.
Mm-hmm. Number 14. We've done this for the past 2 years now because of the difficulty with scheduling. If you know a high school schedule, we're going back to department PLCs. You never have a department all off at the same time during the day. So we've allowed them to have three delayed openings so that they can have professional learning community meetings. 15 are the financial reports for the elementary school. Number 16 is high school personnel, and I'd like you to just refer to that personnel document. You have one addition that was not there on what you received over the weekend, and it says pending approval for substitute. If you are not employed in the district for any other reason than being an assistant coach or a coach, you need to have your substitute certificate. To get a substitute certificate, you need to be employed. So basically, the board has to say, we would like this, we're employing this person as an assistant coach or a coach. Then we can apply to the county to issue the substitute certificate.
I have a question.
Okay. He has his fingerprints
in. No, I understand that. But how are we employing somebody we're not paying? He's a volunteer coach?
Even just because you're approving him. The only way he can get a substitute certificate
so
is
to
say
to
he's
approved.
Been approved by a board
okay.
as doing something.
Understood.
Here, even if it's volunteer.
Understood.
Okay. let's see.
But then he's also going to be a sub.
Mr. Shelton.
Sorry, Mr. Shelton. He's also going to be a substitute teacher further down in the list, or could be then?
No, he will be, once he's approved by the county, then we will put him on as a substitute and approve him there.
Just because he's getting the sub certificate, or just he actually wants to maybe do that?
No, he doesn't. I think, let me correct myself. I don't think we need to do it unless he wants to be a substitute, just so he has a certificate.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
He has to have a sub certificate to meet the requirement for a volunteer coach, correct, Mrs. Margin?
Yes, and I don't think he wants to sub.
I didn't think so. Okay.
All right. The two people that are on here being approved as substitutes, the first person is returning from last year. He simply hadn't gotten his notice in before now that he wanted to return. And the second person is being approved because she is the assistant varsity cheerleading coach. So again, because of her cheerleading position, we had to approve her as a sub.
Mrs. Verdi has a question?
Yes.
I'm just representing Mr.
We're comparing notes here.
He has July 31st documents.
Yeah, we have different documentation here.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't have any of the attachments?
No.
No, that's, yeah.
I don't have that.
Ooh, okay.
I didn't have that.
What do you have?
I don't have the one I was looking for.
Does anybody else have the incorrect documentation? Why don't we give him somebody else's book?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Very good night for the boat parade.
It's good timing. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's always a good time for a boat parade. It's never a bad time.
Do we have you back with us, Tom? Mr. Bauer?
I don't know.
Do you have it?
Okay.
Now you have it.
Oh, you do
okay.
have it?
I do have it.
Okay.
I've got both.
It's just that they didn't take
they didn't
last
take the other
time,
one out.
So.
Yes.
Sorry.
Welcome
Thank
back,
you.
Tom.
You stand correct.
Very good.
Don't move my seat, Mrs. LaSala.
Did you still have a question, by the way, Mrs. Verdi?
Just putting
that
out there.
Did you still have a question?
I do. I wanted a little bit of clarity with regards to when we have a non-paid coach, I'll just say coach, the steps. But I have noticed that we do have people that are not employed but are coaching, and then how do you get to step 8 if it's their first year coaching?
Mr. Cornegay looks at their previous experience, so that if they've coached at a different school and have been a head coach for many years or have been an assistant coach, then he won't necessarily put them on step 1. He'll place them along the guide.
Okay, and how do we decipher the non-paid, and how do we come to that?
Well, a non-paid you don't have to put on a step because they're receiving no money.
Right, but where? How do we determine we're going to pay this assistant coach and not that one? Does it depend on the sport? And
well, first of all, we have only so many paid positions for each sport.
Okay.
And then the coach can say, I have some additional people that are willing to volunteer.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Anybody
no.
else?
No.
Not
okay.
yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Also, Mrs. Bontalis has come in. We had a few student athletes who did not get their physical information in on time. We had some others that we contacted because they handed in incomplete physical information. We had her go through some. I'm going to change this from 1 day to 2 days because Mr. Cornegay still says that there's some outstanding ones he's concerned about, and they've contacted some people actually 3 different times and still haven't heard a response. But again, we really don't want to penalize the child sometimes for a parent.
I also want to clarify, I'm sorry.
Well, I just wonder why the student's inability to follow directions becomes a $600 bill for the Board of Ed. Is this not something that Mrs. Bontalis could do the first week of school? Why is it necessary to bring her in for 2 days additional on top of her contracted dollars?
Well, because last year the board decided to eliminate doing physicals for students. So we cut not only the $5,000 for the doctor who used to come in to do them, but we also cut salaries for about 4 or 5 individuals, all 3 nurses, to spend 2 days doing physicals. So we saved a great deal of money. This is the first year we've had parents take the responsibility to get their children own physical and exam. And I spoke to one parent who was very nice, who said because of her insurance, she could not get her child an examination until after August 1st. So her forms didn't come in until on the late side, and they weren't complete, and she didn't have that opportunity. I think that this year, I'd like to be a little bit more lenient with parents because it was a change, and next year be more definitive that they have to come in by a certain date, and we budgeted 5 days for the nurse in August. We've used up all 5 days. I just think it's fair for the students.
These are in addition to the 5 days?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to add something for clarity, though, because it wasn't that this board just made the decision to have them do physicals. That was also a state recommendation.
Yes.
That all schools start having the physicals handled by the doctor. So it wasn't just
yes.
that this board decided to pull the rug. It was also a state recommendation
right.
as well. The second thing I'd like to clarify for the board is Mrs. Margin did contact me, and I did authorize her to bring in Mrs. Bontalis just on Monday, because it was
right.
my understanding we had 12 or 13 students who were sitting on the sideline because their paperwork was not processed. And to get them back on the field and go, and I also believe we have a deadline with the NJSIA. They can't practice without their paperwork in, so I don't think you could wait.
Right.
You could wait till the beginning of school, but for those students, they could possibly miss the entire tryout or preseason as well. So I was not comfortable making that decision on the board's behalf. I did ask Mrs. Margin if I was authorized to do that, and she told me that I was, and I want the board to be aware of the decision that I made without all of your input.
Thank you.
Mrs.
All right, I have a question on that, because the deadline for all paperwork to be in was July 15th. And it was my understanding that that was the deadline because parents had to get all their paperwork in while the school nurses were still here so that these problems would not occur in August. So it's not like that paperwork was submitted and then there was nobody here in the building. I was told that we had to submit it by the 15th because the nurse was here, so she would be in her office able to process that paperwork. I believe she's here for another week. Is she here the whole month of July?
She's here. Different nurses are here
okay.
the entire
so
month
I was told
July.
There had to be a school nurse. That's why the deadline for all the parents was July 15th. Now with the NJSAA, with your insurance, if my daughter's physical expired August 1st, I am allowed to have the paperwork filled out, that physical is good for 365 days, it gets submitted, and then on August 1st, when my insurance picks up a new physical, I'm allowed to go back, my insurance covers that well visit physical, and then I could submit it to the nurse at that point, which is what I have also done in the past. Mm-hmm. So I am as confused as...
You know what, there's one thing I want to make clear though. In many of these cases, it wasn't that they did not get their paperwork in. In many of the cases of the kids that were sitting out, they did get their paperwork in, and there was an item, like an eye exam, I believe, was one.
Well, that's
that
what I'm saying.
Missing.
So they did get it all in by July 15th, which was the deadline.
Right. Not necessarily by July 15th.
But that was the deadline.
But we didn't say you can't submit it at past July 15th. We accepted
it. It was on the website listed as that, I believe.
Yes, but we continued. If we cut it off on July 15th, we would have 100 students that probably would not have gotten in. This
good.
Is the first year, and in some cases, there are parents that don't know the NJASIA rules.
NJSIAA.
Okay, they don't know the rules, and so they had to wait. Their insurance said you can't go before August 1st. I think that for the first time, we did a pretty good job having only about 42 students, 30 that had them in but incomplete, and 12 that got them in late. And late not by your rules. Their idea was if I had it in before August 15th, I'm in. Now we have to compute, we did communicate it, as you point out, Julia. It was on the website. We sent things home. Unfortunately, not all the time parents read everything that we send home.
But Mrs. Morgan, I just want to make sure I was understanding, because I believe you told me that many of these students were not notified until their first day of practice that there was a problem with their paperwork.
No. The majority of them had been called. There were a few that the nurse went through on Tuesday before practice started and had to call them at the last minute. But that was only a couple.
12 or 13. Is that what you, I mean, that's why I authorized.
Right.
I think we discussed 12 or 13 students that were called.
At the late, yes. Yes. At the last minute.
Mrs. DePalma?
I was going to say what Julia said. I was always under the impression that once you had your physical, it was good for 365 days, and there was a form you could fill out that extended it, and then until that point where you can go to your doctor and get a new one. But you get an update from your physician.
Yes, during that 365.
That's also explained on the form,
yes.
The standard form from the NJSAA.
Right, so I don't understand why we didn't tell them, or why don't we just say to them, they're due on July 15th, but if you cannot, if your insurance does not allow you to, use the update form. Why can't they, do they realize that? Do they understand that they can do that? That's the easy, it's one sheet that the doctor just signs
they
off.
They all know that.
That's
they,
all.
Yes, they do know that.
Because I did ask about it.
This was a parent who has a freshman and probably hadn't had that explained to them. I mean, people who have been, who have children at the high school who have been participating understand that.
I picked up my packet. That was not included in the packet, that form.
I'll make sure that it
yeah,
is
make
going
sure that,
forward.
And also, I was one of the ones that was called the day before the tryouts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of an inhaler that they have to self-administer, but that also wasn't on the packet. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it was just but for both my kids, it wasn't included on the packet.
Right. I'd love any input
yeah.
that you can give
so
me about how to improve
that
packet.
So maybe if we just gave them all the
packet.
Paperwork, it might help.
Mm-hmm.
Or give them a checklist. This is what you need. If you don't have it, call the school.
Mr. Shelton.
Two things. One to that. So if you don't have your physical stuff in, are they not practicing?
Right now, they're not. They're sitting on the bench.
Okay, so they're definitely done until it's signed.
Yes.
Okay, and then on this same sheet, to jump off of that, Amnesty International, is that a new club?
Mm-mm. No, it's not a new club.
We've always had that?
Yes.
What's an average stipend for these things? We're approving them for the appointment, and then I think what that says is they'll get a stipend?
Yes.
Is there a range for these somewhere? Or?
I can show you the guide that we have in the current contract, but we've been doing this for every time we've approved the teachers,
no,
everything. It's salary to be determined.
I don't think I ever saw that one. That's
based
been a
on
long
the
time.
Negotiation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mrs. Walsh.
I would just like to recommend that we take a good look at how this new policy was implemented this year and make adjustments so that we don't have any of these last minute additional expenses for the board. If that means adjusting the hours that a nurse is here so that there is someone here to do these emergency exceptions that is within their.
We do have someone here to do the emergency exceptions. You have other medical personnel on duty. If you rewrite it that either your trainer or your nurse can write it off, I believe Mr. Hyland starts with preseason with the kids, and many trainers do the eligibility as well.
That's a good suggestion.
Thanks, Jules.
I think also, though, going forward also, I think we need to also look at the packet that they're being sent to make sure that that it's comprehensive, that the forms that, so that we don't find ourselves back here again discussing this
all right,
again.
And instead, then, I will not ask for an extra day. We'll have Mr. Hyland review those.
Well, that depends on what's in your current bylaws and policies. If that's the acceptable medical personnel that can do that, then that's fine. If not, in the future, we need to amend it so that we include him in that, so that in the future, if an athlete walks in and has everything and it's stamped and sealed, that you don't have to pay the school nurse to come in and do what your medical professional is already capable of doing.
I'll check the policy, and then I'll come back next week. And if I need the
extra
day.
Okay,
the extra day.
Is that acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
Very good. Moving on.
Okay. professional day and field trips, number 17. Any questions?
Again, Madam Chairperson.
Mrs. Walsh.
This question comes out of inexperience. Do we normally approve an entire academic year's worth of field trips. Several of these are, involve several meetings.
Right. When we, that's a one-time registration fee for that series, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Child study team, number 18. Number 19, I will be sending out the list of curriculum on Friday through email. Reason being, I'm having my first administrative council meeting tomorrow. I want to clarify some things that I have not received yet, and I want to be sure I have an accurate curriculum list for you. So you'll receive that on Friday. Number 20. Number 21, any questions? We do have the contracts. And if you would like to speak to that at all. This is the swim.
Mr. McCumber?
Yes, thank you. We were able to negotiate. There was that offensive indemnity provision in the agreement with the Atlantic Club, and upon further review, the Atlantic Club agreed to remove it and put in just some standard indemnity language that most boards and rental facilities use. The language was acceptable to the Atlantic Club. It was acceptable to our insurance agent, Boynton and Boynton, and it was acceptable to me. Beyond that, the contract is the same contract that you've been signing, particularly with the aquatics. It's the same contract, but we've just taken out the provision that would have had you defending the Atlantic Club from claims where they were negligent, which didn't seem to be fair. So it's still a draft. If anybody has, any recommendations or changes, as long as they're not too substantive, it has been approved by the Atlantic Club and by Vince Krill over at Boynton. And so from an indemnification standpoint, I'm happy. I haven't reviewed all the times and all that kind of stuff, but just from a legal standpoint, I'm happy.
Mrs. Margin, also, we had discussed making the parent group getting something in writing with regards to the trainer. Did you want to elaborate?
Well, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, I'm going to ask that. I asked Mr. Cornegay to contact both parent groups just to get it in writing that they are going to pay for an athletic trainer and to have that in place.
He did already contact parents?
No, I talked to him today, so he'll probably contact tomorrow.
I am.
Mrs. Barnes.
It is my understanding, since our discussion and since the media has covered this issue, fortunately, Mr. McHugh, I believe, is the chief operating officer of the Atlanta Club. Is that correct? McCray is the athletic director, recreation. The chief. Kevin is the. He has contacted several athletic trainers in the area. He has raised his own level of awareness on what an athletic trainer is. What their responsibilities are and the importance. He's also done his own investigation on the needs of just our sample population. I brought up before that we have 4 insulin diabetics in just the fall season, the amount of asthmatics and whatever. He has actually contacted several athletic trainers in the area and is investigating hiring a full-time athletic trainer for his youth sports over there. So before we have the parents agree, it might be a moot point because they may
be providing it.
Yes. He realizes that his EMS or his EMTs, we don't have paramedics in the state of New Jersey, and his first aid isn't quite the level of care, and has been very agreeable with reaching out and finding out more information on that subject. So some good has really come out of the discussion that we've had here. So before that goes forward, we may be able to work out something with them. It might be less cost for the parents if they're going to go ahead and hire a full-time trainer.
Well, I think they were going to use Mr. Cornegay as the resource for the athletic trainers. But if we can get it from the Atlantic
Club, I think he's already contacted and started interviews at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good.
And just to be clear, it is the board that is entering into this agreement with the Atlantic Club, so you'll be reimbursed by the parents, but it would be the Atlantic Club would not sign an agreement with a parent group, so they are signing an agreement with you. And just so we're aware, if for any reason you're not reimbursed, or, I mean, that will ultimately be your responsibility to cover that tab.
Typically, in the past, we've had the parent groups give us the money ahead of time.
Well, I like that.
You know.
That's a good idea.
The parent group has to give us the money before we actually implement the contract.
Well, because remember, the liability that we have here isn't just for our own students, it's for any visiting students we have from any of the area schools on our schedule as well. And I think the only other point, because this is the first I've seen the contract, and now I haven't even read it yet, but I will before next week, is the issue of it becoming a board expense in
down the pike.
A couple years. Down the pike.
Mm-hmm. Certainly a consideration. Mrs. Verdi.
Who is the liaison or president, leader of the boys and girls soccer team parent group? I mean, my child plays soccer, and I'm not quite sure, like, am I a part of that? Are you a part of it? I mean, our girls play soccer. I've never, that's the question I have, and you know, who's going to hire?
I'll defer to Mrs. Margin.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Well, actually, the initial letter came from Mrs. Matthews, the coach.
Okay.
All right, so I don't have a parent name,
okay,
but she says the parent, the for girls soccer.
And I'm sorry, Mrs. Martin, that letter came to you or to?
It was addressed to Mr. Cornegay.
Okay, not to the parents.
Not to, okay. No. This was a letter to Mr. Cornegay requesting, she was the one that initiated the request to have the parents pay for and stated that they were willing to pay.
Does she refer to a parent group, Mrs. Margin, or is she just saying the parents are going to pick up the tab?
Okay, provides below is the price breakdown. The soccer program is willing. The soccer program is willing to fundraise for the cost of using the fields and has the balance available.
Mrs. Hom, I'm sorry. Mrs. Hom, do we have that fund going through our school as it should be?
Not necessarily. I don't know which fund they're referring to.
Because if it's a school fund for our soccer team, it should be, you should know the balance right off the top of your head because it should be funneled through your office.
This discussion has come up far more than, we have to move on this and do something here because I think this is a recurring theme, and I think, you know, somewhere we have to put this in, Mrs. Margin, to start this process. I mean, I know myself, I've heard of parents writing checks to coaches to cash, which is more than a little disturbing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how this board would like to address this going forward. Does anybody offer some suggestions here that can?
Yes.
Let's start by finding out who the core group of the parent group is, or are we just already?
I think what Michelle is saying is that it's not just soccer.
Yeah, it's a multiple group.
So we really should have a policy, and we've talked about it in the past. The problem is there are many clubs that have functioned independently, have their own tax ID numbers. Are we going to permit that, or aren't we?
Right.
Do we want to put that on?
That's always been an issue, whether to take.
Do we want to put that on the agenda for the policy committee to tackle first? I mean, I think there's going to be an overlap with finance, but I think policy probably the first place to address it.
Right, that's a good idea.
Do we agree?
Yeah, and I can get some policies because Hazlitt already has that in place, as I understand it, that all clubs.
It was my understanding that when I went through my own training for SBA, that was how,
procedure.
I mean, there wasn't an option.
Right. Well, there are many districts because PEG has talked to other BAs that are struggling with that same situation.
Right. I know for a fact that Freehold Regional is struggling with it. Ocean Township has some policies that they've written on it. But we discussed it at our last BA's meeting because many schools are having the same problem. It's not like they ask permission. People don't necessarily ask permission.
But when we have things like this and we're waiting
for, as I said, you know, they come to us and they say, in writing, we have the balance and funds available, then.
Plus, I think we need to be proactive rather than reactive.
Yes.
This has been a theme. We've been talking about it. So let's put the things in place to start solidifying. So the direction will be policy. We'll take that on first and start there.
Well, I'm sure Strauss Esme has one, and if not, Chris Mullins
is
a phone call away.
Assist us in gathering what you can.
I'll have one for
have
policy
Chris's,
meeting on
I think
Thursday.
I have Chris's and I have Kenny's.
So see what he does.
Mr. Shelton, were you raising your hand or just shaking your head?
Get Sandy to give them to me for the policy meeting on Thursday.
Okay.
Or I'll call.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We have a direction? We're good?
All right.
We have a direction.
It's a yes.
22?
Yes.
We just did
you have that contract now, so you can review that. 23, where are we with that contract? Do we have that contract?
We do have the contract, and I believe Peg has forwarded it to my review, and I will. I'll be reviewing that shortly. Sorry about that.
Next week.
Yes, definitely.
Michelle?
Mr. Shelton?
As a, I guess a standard going forward, because I have probably been as critical in the past as anyone, when we end up with a lot of agenda items that say contract on file in board office, having watched this board for some 10 or so years, I assume that most people haven't read half the things that they approve. Maybe we can kind of, Tom's nodding yes, because you haven't either. Can we maybe start getting these contracts and everything sent to us electronically with a majority of our stuff as one big giant PDF, so we're not getting stuff handed out?
We were waiting, and Armin actually 5:30, 5 o'clock today.
Not just this one in particular, like all of these things that say contract pending in board office. So are all of us going to go to the board office and read this before we vote on it?
Mike, I also think the pending theme is again another recurring theme that we do have to address.
I think we should go all electronic someday, like everybody is, but short of that, if you want me to vote on something and I can't read it, I'm not talking about this specific issue.
The Ice World thing was my,
I will not vote on something I can't read.
No, and I wouldn't expect you to, and I will look at it, and I was working on some other contracts.
It's not just this issue, so anything.
But you did forward it to me, and I just haven't had a chance yet, but I will.
Okay. Thank you.
Mrs. DePalma?
I just had a question. The letter that was sent to Mr. Cornegie.
Yes.
Are we allowed to read that?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd like to read it.
Absolutely. Number 24, that's just the Honeywell approval. Number 25, 26, 27, and then financials. Now, one thing I did not say and just will ask, can we group the Manasquan items on the agenda for vote next week? Any problem with that? And may we group the sending district items on the agenda next week?
Mrs. Barnes?
I have a question. The elementary, the Manasquan agenda, item 821-14, should that actually be under the sending district agenda?
Yes.
13?
No.
I don't know. I don't know, because it's a high school.
Yeah, I know. The problem is, and I did review the agenda, and I will be reviewing the agenda. The problem is that it's very, just because it involves the high school doesn't mean you could vote on it. It has to.
No, that's why I'm asking.
And you're going to see, for example, policies which involve the high school. Unfortunately, there's nothing in the statute which says you get to vote on policies. And I have been torturing myself over this. And as you'll note, I moved the Atlantic Club stuff back over to, because I originally at the last meeting I had said, well, I wasn't sure about it, and I don't think it, but you know, I think it falls within the first A of that statute, but the statute is so restrictive. I will go through, I'll jump through hoops to try to make it so that, you know, the sending members can vote on high school matters, but there are, you know, moving dates, that's not within the statute. Things that seem intuitive, I just can't find a way to call that, you know, a contract involving instruction or teaching staff member.
Well, because, for example, so when I look at that as a sending district, I'm thinking, all right, so right off the bat, you're changing the hours for the high school.
Yeah.
Sending districts provide the busing. You're changing our busing schedule. So when I look at things like that, I'm thinking, of course, that's a sending district input.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Input.
It makes no sense. The statute makes no sense. They've actually.
They're changing the high school
day.
They're rearranging the schedule. It's going to affect not only my 250 students, but the busing for the students that applies to, which is significant, not to mention the other sending districts. It would make sense to me. So when I see that, I say, maybe.
If more sympathetic, I could not be.
I know.
And there are things which it may impact, which you can vote on. But and I'm telling you, with every agenda, I will look at it, and if there's any way, when it comes to the high school, I can fit it into the four corners of that ridiculous statute, which they thought about amending and never have, I will.
Okay.
But that Atlantic City case gave us no room. Before that Atlantic City case, clearly you could have voted on that through a series of commissioners' decisions. And this has been an education for me. I can't understand the statute. I mean, it's so restrictive. How can you not vote on policies that impact the high school? There's nothing in the statute that says you can vote on policies. It's crazy, but but that's it.
Mrs. Verdi.
I have a quick question on item 8, 21-23, the approval of the ice rental. Is this the place in Howell?
Yes.
It is? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, under old new business, there were a couple of items that I had requests from board members to put on for discussion. Let me start from the bottom, actually. Bylaw number 0142, there was discussion in policy committee with regards to residency qualifications. We had batted this one around a year ago, around this time, and we had, Mask on Board had always had a two-year residency requirement. We changed it to one. There was some discussion in committee with putting it back at two. I think that feel that we have a member of the public who is on the ballot who this would affect, and I think making a change at this point could be a little problematic. So I think at this point we should probably wait and address that when we have the new board members or the new board in January. Does anybody have any discussion on that or disagree or? Okay, with regards to the student resource officer, we again have talked about this and we kind of left it dangling out there. And I think we need to, again, definitively make a plan as to, if we're seriously gonna look into this and make it an effort, we have to have an action plan, and we don't right now. This was thrown out by me a couple of times and then kind of just left hanging in the balance. So I'd like to get some input, if we can get an idea of how we want to research this and where we want to go from here. Does anybody want to offer anything with regards to this? Mr. Shelton?
Do we have some functioning group here or ad hoc or whatever we are to?
You know, I don't know where we'd fit right now. I think we could do an ad hoc if that's.
Can policy, I mean,
well,
we need to do something.
Do we think it would fall under do we think it would fall under policy committee right now, or do we think this is a different endeavor? I mean, does anybody?
I think we have to have a buy-in. Does this board want to proceed to figure to do this? We can go back and talk to the town again. Some of us already have. Finance is going to say, where are we going to get the money?
I think we had this discussion, and we did agree that it was something worth looking into and pursuing. If I'm, not correct, help me out here. Mrs. Barnes?
Is there a definitive job description in place for the SRO?
There is one.
Yeah, okay. I actually was told there was one left here. Actually, Carrie McCormick, a former administrator, had reached out to me back in February when we initiated this discussion. I actually don't mean to blindside you. I didn't talk to you about that yet, but he did say that there was a...
No, I have the one from the town, from the police department
that would be
from last year.
Only because I don't know, because that would certainly be the, the starting point, but if it's from Carrie's, it might be a little...
But here's what I'd like to, I think we need to establish first where we want this discussion to take place. No, actually he also has something from
there,
where he is now.
There's a more current one.
But I think we need to have a starting point as to where we want this to take place. So do we want to form, the question is, do we want to form an ad hoc committee for this?
Well,
or
that's
do
why
we,
I was asking, because I mean, if that's already in place and there's a job description, then I think that's your starting point. I think when I came on the board, it was brought up originally. And of course, I always get the hair on my back always goes up when people say about the sending districts paying their fair share. You know, that's my favorite quote, at 43% of the budget. And I think it was the cost of the SRO, which I think the last discussion was upwards of $100,000. So I had a problem with that. So do I believe there's an SRO that needs? Absolutely. Absolutely. I know Wall just has their new SRO starting, who is a retired Wall Township police officer. He's certainly not getting $100,000 a year, because, as I said, this is a man with full benefits and pension, is familiar with the town, and comes in, and I think that it's a win-win for them. Do I think if we had some sort of similar situation here, would it be a win-win for us as well? I agree. But I think that we return to the, if we can dig up that job description and a salary range, and then see where it fits in our budget for, and it won't go in this year.
Yeah, of course. But I think it's important, though, to also, Julie, I had gone to a Shore Community Alliance meeting, and there were people there from the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office, and one thing that they were saying was that there are a lot of districts that are using retired law enforcement. Somebody had suggested paying somebody hourly rather than salary. What they were saying, that schools are, we're all facing the same dilemma. There's a need, but there's no money. So I think there are more creative ways to do it. It's just a matter of philosophical differences as to whether or not they're uniformed or they are retired. So I think the best place for this is an ad hoc committee. If the board agrees, I'd like to put 3 members assigned to it, and let's see if we can get some concrete movement on this matter. Do we agree with that?
Absolutely.
Mr. Shelton, I'm already going to ask you to be on it because I think you've done a ton of research. I would like to be on it. Anybody else want to join us?
I'd love to be on it.
Mrs. Verdi, I'll take that as a yes.
You looked around way too long.
I didn't see any other hands. Are we, is the board comfortable with that decision?
Yeah, and anyone else? I mean, Jack, would this be something that you would be interested in? You have a son in law enforcement, you're on conference. I mean, I think you might have some knowledge in this area.
Yeah, I'll go with it too.
That's fine.
And can we have another one without violating any?
We're getting dangerous.
We'd
be dangerous, but I would give up if I had to. If there was a board member that wanted to, I would definitely give that up.
You can have four.
You can have four.
You have four.
I just don't want five.
Yeah.
Are we going to look into the back policy just to see if maybe we can even update it to a point?
Well, the job description that was made by the police department in January of 2010, I have here, I can send to you. But again, that's going to apply if we are hiring a sworn in police officer who's part of the Manasquan Police Department with full arrest authority and all of that. If we go down the other road with someone else who's retired, who isn't sworn in, I mean, it's going to be different functions. Is that person going to report to the police department? That's what this job description was built for the last we talked about it, but the numbers kept climbing to where we couldn't have afforded it.
Right.
And I mean, Jerry, you know that. It just, every time we called back over there, it went up another $10,000. It was like, quit calling. So if we get a retired person, they would probably report to the board or administration somehow and have different authority. So we're going to have to build a job description or get one from the SRO Society or one of these smart guys like Jeff Algor and people who know how to build this for us. It just depends on what we hire and what we pay. Is it a class 2 special? Last time we tried that, we were told we couldn't.
Well, I think there's a lot of community resources that we can reach out to, and I'm sure there's people that once they know, and hopefully the media will get that out, that we are pursuing this again. And the committee will do their job in reaching out to those resources as well. But again, I want to go back to what I was told at the Shore Community Alliance. They're saying where there's a will, there's a way. So it's just a matter of, do you want a presence and some help in your school, or do you want to do nothing? And if you're going to say that you don't have the grand plan, where there's a compromise. So maybe we need to be looking at everything and setting our sights in a direction of what's achievable.
That's fine.
So Jack Campbell, Mike Shelton, Catherine Verdi, and myself will be on that ad hoc committee, and I'll be in touch with everybody. Mr. Shelton, I'd like you to be the chairperson. Thank you. Okay, moving on.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Back out now.
Okay, the random drug testing in the middle school. I know, Mr. Shelton, you had a few words on this that you wanted to bring to the board's attention.
Maybe not necessarily for the middle school, but we have had some conversations in policy. And when do we have another one? Thursday?
Yes.
I've spoke with administration here. We've spoke with our drug testing vendor. And I think they sent some pretty detailed information today. And I think we need to review it with policy first and then
Come back to the board
as far as, I think I sent it to Julia and Linda earlier.
I think
you have it.
Just so the board is aware, the policy committee is meeting on Thursday the 23rd at 2:30. So we'll take that up there, Mike, and then come back to the table.
Yeah.
Mike, will you send it to me also, please?
Yeah, and I don't know, were your guys coming back Thursday or not? Did we ask them to? I don't remember.
Those guys would be the administrators.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry.
We didn't.
We probably should at least have Rick there.
Rick there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I also have asked Mrs. Margin to put together policy manuals for the board, for those of us that... the paper feels good. I think every board member, it's a practice with most boards, we should have that. It will be something that you will turn in when your term expires or when your term is done. I don't expect her to have it overnight,
It's going to take a while, and
right.
I did have one question. I know the policy committee has talked about really reviewing each section of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
Could I suggest that I make hard copies for the policy committee right now and maybe wait for the rest of the group? Because when you have hard copies, and let's say we revise policies, it's making sure that you get copies to everyone, that they remember to remove the old policy and insert the new one. So it is a very complicated, being in this business for a long time, very quickly your book can get very messed up. So if we're going to make a concerted effort to go through each of the sections, we can do it section by section, and once you've revised it, we'll give everybody an empty binder, and as we do each section, give them the new and revised. Would that be acceptable?
I think that sounds like a healthy compromise. I think it's a good starting point.
Okay.
Anybody disagree?
And you still all have access to the online,
right.
And you all have access to e-online, which if you would like, I can demonstrate how to do that.
Why don't we do, we'll start there, Jerry.
Okay.
We have them for the
all
policy
right.
committee members.
Jerry, maybe, again, I want as little paper as possible. And the PDFs online, you can search. You can do anything you want with something that's online. What we don't have access to, and maybe we can talk about or explore, we don't have any versioning. So when a policy, versioning, right? So version, V-E-R-S,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know if some people look confused. So when a new policy comes out and you go, well, what did the old one say? Well, when the new one comes out, it's going up online and you can't see the old one. So in many cases for our policies and regs, if we still maintained, like keeping last year's meeting dates, things like that, we'd have access. I mean, if you ever go print out all of our policies, you're going to have a binder this big at
right.
900 pages. And if she sends you 22 new pages, are you really going to go home and go here and hole punch? And who's going to do that? I'm going to throw it all away because I can find it online. So maybe we have a way we can, as we update policies, we can, you know, just grab that one PDF, which takes literally no virtual storage space online, and move it to a date. Like you have archived agendas, maybe we can have archived policies and archived regs, unless everybody really wants a big book. I know.
Well, I think one of the issues that came up, Mike, was that there was questions as to things that policies that were online that were changed, and how do you verify?
I agree, but if we have access to the old one, and then
uh-huh.
you have the new one.
We've had.
There's got to be a solution.
Right.
I'm saying I don't want a big book.
It is. That can be difficult because there's been some policies that we've revised maybe 2-3 times in a short period of time. And so even electronically, that can kind of be confusing because, again, the revision date is always at the bottom and people don't always look at that. We try and keep all our policies from the past one hard copy binder, but even Strauss-Esme, because the law will be interpreted after they issue a mandated policy, and a month later or 2 months later, they change it.
Right,
and they only change a few words because there's only a few words that needed to be changed, and if we keep backing them up over time, I think it's going to be very confusing. I understand what you're trying to say. We can talk about how we can
let's
do
have
it.
Further discussion yeah. in policy committee, and
okay.
then we'll come back.
All
okay.
Right.
One final thing for me. The next meeting, as I said, we should be able to hopefully adopt our district goals if we are able to finish with the two remaining. Again, if we don't, we can come back in September and take care of that. But we also need to begin the process of our board goals. And in order to start to move that along, I do think that's something that we can do in one night. I don't think it's as deep as the district goals are. I would like to send out, much like I did with the district goals, a few suggestions to all of you electronically this week. And I would like, if you could, next week come back to the board table with perhaps a suggestion or two of board goals. You can go online, see what our goals were for this past year, and then perhaps we can try to formulate something. I don't recall if we had three or maybe four board goals, but I don't think it should be that difficult to do. I think this group is good enough to accomplish it in one night. Does anybody have any questions, suggestions, or anything for discussion? Okay. Public forum?
Can I add another old new? I didn't know if that's what you meant.
Sure.
I had brought this up before, and maybe, Peg, when's our next finance get together? Is that next week?
Monday.
Mm-hmm.
8 o'clock.
New boiler?
And what was that, Tom?
That was a little scary.
The boiler number three.
Door number two.
We've talked before, at least I have, about what we charge people to get into ballgames and things around here. I mean, they're going to start in a couple of weeks. I know Catherine wants to pay $3, but every school I go to is $5. I mean, if we're going to do something, and from a finance committee standpoint, I'd like to see, you know, maybe what we're getting in gate sales and things like that. But, I mean, we're going to have to make a decision as a board if we want to start doing something. So unless somebody objects, I mean, how do we go through the process of saying?
The gate sales, Mike, in a sense, to be used for something else, because right now the gate sales pay for the referees and things, officials. Yeah, the gate sales currently pay for our refs, our officials, people that work the games.
But if you had another $2 from everybody, you'd have more money to pay for things, right?
Yeah, we supplement it right now, because by the end of the year, we have to supplement it. No.
Well, then why wouldn't we even say, let's just raise the price to go to stuff around here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually a recommendation from the athletic department. It has been in the past, at least.
Well,
but that's fine, you know, if you want to take it over finance.
The last time we raised them, we did raise the regular entrance fee, and we didn't raise students or senior citizens.
When is the last time we raised?
Peg, I
or
think
increased?
That was maybe 3 years ago.
About 3 years ago.
Aren't we at $3 now to get into a football game?
I'd have to look at the ticket.
What do we raise it from? I mean, what were we,
probably
a dollar?
It was probably two.
Yeah, it was probably two, and we
it
raised
it. It was probably
a
two. It was probably raised
I'm
a dollar.
Just confused as to if maybe you can help me out here. The athletic department recommends the increases, but yet we know what we can't pay for. So how does that?
Yeah.
And we know we're not meeting our costs, correct? So why would it be
right.
up to them?
It's never actually been looked at it that way.
Right.
It's never been looked at as part of the financial picture. If the board chooses to do that now,
right.
it's certainly fine. The board, in the past, at least the boards, you know, for years, even when we raised it, we had some, I think, pushback about raising the price, even the dollar, which was a 50% increase. And they decided not to raise the students and not to raise the
seniors.
What does a student pay to get into a football game? I'm just picking that because that's a sport that's going on right now.
Yeah, and honestly, Mike, I hardly ever look at those.
Well,
because
I went
so
to a scrimmage on Saturday. And we better raise some money. I'm dead serious. I mean, I went to the scrimmage. I was out at the field. We need to raise some money somehow.
Absolutely.
And we also, there's two parts to this. We need to raise a price so we're at least consistent with other schools. But, I mean, when you go to Wall, it costs you $5 to get in. Why is it cheaper here? But then on the flip side, we also need to make sure. Can I finish, please?
I thought you were finished. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My mouth was still.
By the way, I'm calling on people.
Okay.
But
Mr. Shelton.
The flip side is that we also need to charge people that are coming in. There's a lot of people that don't pay. And there's a lot of people that have these fancy little blue and silver and whatever cards that say, I have a pass or something they made at home. And, I mean, I guess that's good if you gave $20 to a booster club and they gave you something that says season pass, get in. But do you get the $20 from that club, Peg, to go towards this gate sale receipts? I'm guessing you don't.
All of the stuff has gone into the student activities account. The tickets have always been handled as part of the student activities account, used to defer football costs first, and then anything that is left over after football season is used to defer officials for the other costs. It's never been, honestly, something that, other than counting the tickets after a game, that we've had a whole lot to do with.
No, but I keep hearing we don't have any money every time we want to do anything. Right, and we can't keep charging Julia because he's at 43% right now. So we have to charge people. There's probably 300 people a week that don't pay to get
into
these games.
I think we need to, again, if
so I'd like to get a motion on the next agenda or something to raise our prices. I don't know what, to where we can start at least breaking even.
How about, Mike, I'll send to the board what our current prices are, mm-hmm. a recommendation, and also the total amount we took in last year.
And I know they just received tickets, and hopefully those tickets don't have the prices on them.
What tickets?
Because the tickets for the games. We just received tickets for the games.
And that.
Well, they can buy two.
And if I'm not, well, there we go. And if I'm not mistaken, the changes, the it changes every year, because every other year that you host a Thanksgiving Day game, the host school keeps the gate.
Yes.
So it was away last year, so your ticket sales will be greater this year because you're going to host.
Exactly. It's up one year, down another.
And that price is always higher for that game, correct?
Yes.
Right.
That's set by the state.
Mrs. Verdi?
Or not that, not the Thanksgiving isn't, but the state games are.
You better hold on to your seat, Mr. Shelton.
Mrs. Verdi?
Because guess what? There is no profit when it's our students and they show their ID. There's, like, the elementary school kids, they, as long as they have their little ID, they don't pay anything. So I'm assuming, yeah.
I don't have a problem really
with
students going to a game.
Hold on, Mr. Shelton.
The high school students do. Where they have to buy a season pass to admit them to all of the athletic events. So why do the elementary kids get in with their student pass and the high school kids are paying?
I have seen children from Brielle, from all, they come, you have to have.
We don't have Brielle student IDs.
So, well, I don't know what they showed, and children have gone.
Unless they're Pop Warner kids and they wear their jerseys.
I don't know about.
That I've seen also.
Is that true?
For the football.
I think we got to check this out.
I really have had nothing.
Hang on 1 second. I think what we need to do is check. We got questions, Peg. So who do we address them to? Is it?
I will find out from Mr. Fortigay exactly what's going on.
Okay, so we can find out what the process is. Mr. Shelton, wait, I'm coming to you, Linda, and I'm coming to you, Jack. Mr. Shelton, are you done? Mrs. DePalma.
Now, who did you say collects the money? Who keeps track of this money?
What happens with the money is there are tickets. We issue the tickets. They're given in different colors. The school issues the tickets. There's a report form that comes back to my office with the ticket sales, the tickets that were not sold, and the tickets that were sold, and the cash must tie into those tickets, which it does.
Okay.
So that is done for every game, and all the tickets are returned. They're audited every year. So that is part of our audit process.
Okay.
Beyond that, as far as setting prices, who comes in, who doesn't, that's always been handled by the athletic department as part of the function of the athletic department. And they've made recommendations in the past to raise the price, to lower the price, whatever it happens to be, to keep the price the same. But
so
certainly,
do you have a tally then? Like, you should have.
I know how
much
money
we
took in for the year.
I think we need to take, with finance, we can delve further, but I think we need to take a look at this, because that still just doesn't make sense to me, but we'll talk it out. Mr. Campbell.
And I just heard somebody say if students buy a season pass from the, I guess, Big Blue or whatever, for $20, they can, where's that $20? They keep that in their fund?
Yeah, that's what
I'd like to know. Well, that's what, you know, when you're saying they raise the prices.
Mm-hmm.
Any tickets that sold to the game should be going into
student
activities.
Okay, I'm just asking. Somebody said that they can buy a year pass.
Well, we'll take this.
No, I don't think Big Blue does not sell season passes.
Season passes.
Well, who would sell that season?
That's only the athletic department.
Oh, I see.
No, I buy a season pass every year.
Where do they?
I buy a season pass every year.
Yeah,
that's through the athletic department, though.
Yeah, well, I think what we need to do for the purposes of this is we need to, you need to come back and let us know what's going on.
Absolutely.
So maybe we can just, okay? Any other questions? Okay, public forum, if anybody would like to get up and comment on anything that's on their mind, just stand up and give us your name and your address, please.
Michelle, we're getting ready. Would the same be true with basketball and other
yes.
sports? Same kind of thing. So
yep.
the analysis should be for all of that?
We have it for the entire year. Any tickets that are sold when they're sold at a game, like a basketball game, a football game, we have an accounting sheet that gets handed back in with the tickets. So,
state your name and address for the record, please.
Jeff Algor, 1225 Norman Terrace, Spring Lake Heights. Good evening.
Good evening, Jeff.
You're doing well. I just came out tonight, again, I know that's not an agenda item. I'm not going to bring up the issues that you have regarding a certain coach. I'll get to that in a second. I can speak to a little bit with your student resource officer. I've spoke to some people in the past that have asked my occupation. I'm a state trooper, so I've worked with student resource officers in the past. A close friend of mine actually is a school resource officer. He's worked in the Millstone Township School District for a number of years, and we are the sole police department in that area, so that's where we have our knowledge. We have benchmarks, we have different things, the responsibilities that they are assigned, specific duties, up to and including law enforcement powers with people that have parking issues, and don't want to listen to what's prescribed by the school. Everything down to, basically like your DARE officer, and multitude of things. If there's an issue in the school system, you have a police officer in the school. The way I see it, again, with all the stakeholders involved, I get it with the scale back in law enforcement because of the numbers that are allowed. The position numbers have decreased throughout the state, and that's the way the trend is going now throughout the state. And I understand it. You know, fiscal responsibility is what it's all about. I think the question before the board is really to look at identifying a specific need and understanding what that need is, whether you truly need an SRO or you don't need an SRO, but collectively, whether you need one or you don't need one, and then making sure that you educate yourselves on what a school resource officer is and what benefit they can bestow upon your school system. You know, perception and reality. Is there a drug problem or not a drug problem? Are there issues in the school with bullying or not bullying? These are some of the things that a school resource officer can assist you in, but it is a partnership. It's not like this one person is going to come in there and be your saving grace of all the ills and all the problems that you're going to face as a school system. You have policies and regulations that govern that part of what you do as a school board and as a school system. They're a little bit different than what the law enforcement community has, the rules and regulations with statutes and when you arrest somebody or when you don't arrest somebody. Okay, so you really have to identify what it is that you're looking for. And then, of course, in working with Manasquan Police Department, finding out what their specific needs are. They may not be able to, let's say, sell it to the mayor and the council with regards to, all right, for 9 months out of the year, this is your guy or girl. And then the other 3 months, what do we do with them? Of course, in a summer town like we have here in Manasquan, you have the availability of the beach and the assigned duties that they're going to have. But that also may run higher than what they're paying, you know, their class two, class one specials and so forth. So these are a lot of different factors that you're going to have to weigh in and find out what you know, benefit for your buck you're going to be asking for an SRO if that's the way you're going to go. And I know it's been a lot of years, a lot of discussions about the pros and cons, and I'm not here to sway you either way. This is really a discussion for the board to take seriously and to really educate yourselves on whether you need one or you don't need one and have a strategic plan, okay, about how you're going to implement this. What are your attainable goals? You know, you're going to do a SWOT analysis, I'm sure. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunity, threats, challenge. You're going to do all that with regards to evaluating what you think you're going to be able to get out of this and if it's going to be a benefit to the school system. There's certain things, I'll tell you, that an SRO provides that you really can't quantify. You really can't put it in terms with having that person there, that person in uniform that, wow, now they see a police officer as a friend as opposed to what everybody else establishes as, oh, that's the man, you know, and it kind of has that connotation that society puts on police officers. You know, they can be your friend, but they can be your worst enemy when you've done wrong, okay? It goes both ways. Same as a teacher, same as a coach, same as a parent. So these are just some of the things. With regards to identifying the need, you know, research it. Definitely identify what the cost-benefit factor is going to be for you. Again, find out from the department here in Manasquan what their expectation of an SRO is and how would that work with their department or not, okay, to kind of do that. And make sure you have a very good job description and understand what the benchmarks are of the assignment. Because if you don't do this stuff beforehand, and you're looking for something at the end result to fix all the problems, you're going to be sadly, you know, mistaken. You're going to find out too late when you're paying somebody a salary. And I've heard of guys that, you know, girls that are retired law enforcement that really don't need the medical component associated with a job because they already have their medical through the retirement system. So there you can save 15, 20 grand right there, okay, in the medical part. And then what are you looking at a salary? I'm sure somebody coming in isn't going to look for that, you know, six-figure job coming in here. You know, and if it's truly somebody that wants a job as an SRO, it's somebody that has to be passionate about kids. It's somebody that really gets it and really wants to do the right thing and understands your school system, understands what it is that you're trying to do, and understands their limitations as an SRO. They can tell, you know, the staff here and the Board of Ed, hey, here's some of the issues we got coming around the corner. But it depends on how you react to that and how you act on it, more importantly. So just some things for you to think about with the SRO. The other thing is, I wasn't here a couple months ago and on a separate topic. And if anybody has any questions on the SRO, if you want to fire them away, I'm here, and I'll go a step further. If you want to meet and greet an SRO, I can provide that for you. There's a trooper I know, he's a sergeant, his name is Randy Pangborn, a friend of mine. He's actually worked over here, but we've had Surf Jam over here at Massillon High School. It's part of the Samaritan Center. And he's helped us out volunteering his time there. He'd be more than willing, I've talked to him in the past, he said he'd be more than willing to answer any questions the board may have of him. Pick his brain. Just another resource. And I'm not saying he's the end all be all.
Before you leave tonight, if you could give me some contact information for you, because perhaps the committee may take you up on that.
Absolutely.
You have it?
Yeah, I had a question, Michelle. I think that's a great idea, by the way, to interview that fellow. What I've never understood is, physically, what does that SRO officer do during the daytime in the school? Does he roam the hallways? Does he sit in an office? What does he really do?
You can shape it to the specific needs of your school. If you say that there's a drug problem, he can assist with your nurses and so forth with regards to talking about drug abuse, and you know, through like almost a DARE type of program. You know,
as a teacher would in the classroom.
As a teacher would, but it's coming at it from a different angle. It's coming at somebody that's been out there, you know, on the streets locking up bad guys, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it from a teacher, you can hear it from your parents, and it goes in one ear and out the other as a kid. But when you hear somebody wearing the uniform, unfortunately, sometimes it has a different connotation and a different degree of understanding when it comes from somebody that the kids will gain trust and respect. You know, that's something that's earned, it's not given.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a certain person to become an SRO and to really want to be there and do the best they can for the kids. And I've seen it work in a very positive way. We did a baseball camp for Millstone kids one summer, and a bunch of troopers volunteered their time. We went out. You know, this is after the school year was over, and these kids didn't really have a rec program out in Millstone Township. And we did a week of baseball camp for these kids that really didn't have any other opportunity. And we did that, and actually Trooper, you know, Sergeant Randy Pangborn actually set this thing up and got former baseball players together and set this up, and it was phenomenal. We had kids from Upper Freehold and Millstone that really had no rec department and nothing established, you know, as well as we do here in this community. And for a week, you know, we had parents coming up to us like, you changed my kid's life. You know, it's powerful stuff because they saw how much we cared. And, you know, there was that degree of trooperism in there, you know, with regards to, you know, we saw one kid, you know, talking about the other kid, oh, you're not good and stuff like that on the baseball field. We're like, whoa, get over here, Junior, come here. We don't do that here. And got them right on board on day one. There's like a little mini academy. And everybody's running around. By the end of the day, the one kid that had never played baseball, who was in eighth grade, tall, lanky kid, you know, no self-confidence. By the end of the week, he's hitting the ball, he's playing shortstop, and he's on the mound pitching. And his mother's like, you have no idea what you did for him. And we're like, no, you have no idea what he did for us. That's what it's about. You know, that's giving back. And that's what a true SRO does. You know, they're passionate about what they do, they care about the people they're involved with, and that's how it works. And in a small community like this, it's powerful. You know, you have an opportunity every day to change in a positive way somebody's life, especially a kid. They're not going to forget that experience. They're going to take it with them. So, anything else?
Thank you.
All right, that's for the SRO. Now, on to the topic of coaching. With regards to the policy, I think a couple months ago that maybe got changed. I want to get a short synopsis.
I want to clarify something, though, Jeff. Somehow misinformation got out. We do not have a policy that has language in it that contains, I think, what you're referring to with the volunteer coaching. Is that where you were headed?
Yeah.
It was a change in the job description at the request of the administration. And if you would ask your questions, perhaps Mrs. Margin could elaborate a little more on that.
Well, I just didn't know if it was specific to volunteer coaches within the system or existing coaches that may have relatives on teams. I didn't know how far a policy would go, because in a small community, the chances of having a coach down the road when you got a kid in grammar school that's going to come through your system, now you have to recuse yourself as a coach, you know, when you're doing the right thing and you're mentoring the kids and you're coaching the kids and trying to assist them. I don't know if that is the most prudent way to go when you have an established program that's working. So I didn't know if anybody could speak to that.
Let me let Mrs. Margin elaborate, but again, we do not have a policy. It was a change in the job description. Mrs. Margin.
And this was a change, Jeff, only in the volunteer position. So if you're a hired coach,
right,
and you have a child that may be going through the system, that doesn't mean you have to step down from that paid position.
Right.
What we have experienced in the past is that oftentimes a parent will volunteer for the 4 years that their child is participating, and it can draw questions from other parents as to decisions about what position that child is playing or their child is playing or who gets cut and who doesn't
get
cut.
That doesn't happen in Little League with volunteer coaches, right?
Never happens.
No, usually the police show up.
I thought it was me.
So we felt, since we've had some of those experiences in the recent past, but also previously, that it would be better to eliminate that problem, because it can be a problem. It really does not necessarily speak to anybody's or questions anybody's integrity who has volunteered. And we have some wonderful individuals. I've never seen a community where there's so many willing volunteers to do it for purely the reasons you've said before, because they want to help kids. It's a tough call, but we felt at the time that it was the best thing to do.
Okay. Well, yeah, my oldest son is a junior at Moravian College, having had played soccer here at Manasquan and enjoyed the 4 years he was here. And I got the frantic phone call from my son tonight because he had heard some things. And I said, well, you know, the bottom line is, you know, I don't know where the board is at with its decision. I said, you know, I trust the board in careful consideration before policies change or things are going to go one direction or the other. And, you know, I can only speak to, you know, character and integrity of people that I know. The gentleman in question is of the utmost integrity and character that I know. He's a character, but a good man. But that aside, you know, again, ultimately it comes down to the board collectively looking at sum total, what's going on here, and, you know, rendering hopefully the right decision in regards to how you're going to move forward with it. And I understand there's a lot of variables out here in the public you're not allowed to comment on, and I respect that. I get it. But I hope that when you go behind closed doors that you'll have the opportunity to confer with each other and really, you know, think your own mind, speak your own mind, and do the right thing in regards to how you're going to implement this and the impact for future volunteers that want to do the right thing, you know, down the road. So other than that.
Jeff, I'd like to just make 2 points to you. One, with regards to what your son may have heard, I heard a lot of crazy stories today. So I would caution you that, you know, the hearsay and rumor mill was rampant, and you may not have all. Just would like to. Right, and the other thing that I think is important, just for clarity, when the board made this decision, we were presented with a lot of information. So it was a unanimous decision at the time to change the language in the job description, and it was based on a lot of information that we received, and it was not a whim or a short. There was discussion at the table over several meetings. So. I appreciate your input, and we'll certainly take what you said into consideration when we go into closed session.
I appreciate that. You know, also, you know, not having attended the meeting where discussions were made, nor probably 99.9% of the public not being here, you know, people hear things and then they, you know, kind of run with different ideas and theories and stuff like that. You know, I'm not here to obviously tell you your business. I'm just here to, you know, state the obvious.
And we appreciate your comments.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else? Mr. Shelton, are you in public forum?
Well, I can be. Is anybody else going up? I missed one thing under old new that maybe we can discuss or else move to next week, but we had talked about maybe any ballot considerations we need to have for the upcoming election. I think we have one more meeting before any questions are due. I know it's talked about resizing of the board. This board is bigger than Berkshire Hathaway and Microsoft and Facebook and my company. This seems a little odd that our little $27 million business has a board that's bigger than a $50 billion business. Whether we'd have to do it or not, but what can we do between now and September 4th or 5th?
Is that the deadline peg for a ballot question?
Yeah, mm-hmm. For ballot questions.
If we were to put something on, would we be within the time to put that on or no?
I can call Bertha Sumick, but I know that you can withdraw your name up until the 5th.
Yeah, we're within the time.
I talked,
and she's
fine.
Out till Monday, but I think Julia had experience with this, and Brielle. It seemed like they kept trying to shrink the board, and they can never pass that, but it's amazing because nobody ever ran for the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a hard time. You know, we've had a similar situation here that we have people resigning, and then we've had occasions that we haven't had enough people put in. And we have a very large board. And like you said, I think Millstone has five.
Well, I did Google many, many, many school districts, and even sending receiving, we still have one of the largest in numbers. For the Manasquan board size, you're going to find most of your districts have 5 to 7. Larger districts like Bricktown, Jackson, they're 5, they're 7, we're 9. And I think that number-wise, it's hard scheduling. I know I had some conversations with the administration on this and other board members, just coordinating schedules, just trying to get things done. It is difficult. So I certainly would support looking to reduce the Manasquan board.
Well, I guess, I mean, the process, and there's a couple, maybe we can just instruct of our attorney, or you can, to bring us the process. There's been a lot of different, Joe said one thing, Armin had another. You know, somebody said when people resigned, we could shrink the board. Somebody else said we have to go have a ballot question and ask the voters, do you want to reduce the board from this size to this size? And not that everybody's not really enjoying working with one another, but I don't think the effects take effect this year either.
They wouldn't.
It would be the next term. So we have a couple one-year terms that a couple of us might do. So, you know, maybe we'd have another year and we'd be done and those seats would expire. Just the process and the parameters, if we could possibly.
Yeah,
can we do that, Mr. McCumber?
That's what I'm asking.
I think what's important there also, Mike, is the timing would be good also, because if we look into this later, we may get into a situation again where we're too close to an election, and we certainly don't want to give the appearance to anybody that we're trying to shrink the board just to, you know, keep the board the way it is. So I certainly support reducing it, and I would like you, Mr. McCumber, to get back to us next week with that.
Will do.
Would that work? Okay. Thanks. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry about the out of process.
Anybody else? Anything? All new? Public forum? Okay. Sunshine Law Resolutions. The Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10-4-6, allows for the exclusion of the public from that portion of a public meeting when certain matters which might endanger the public interest or risk deprivation of individual rights are discussed. And the Board of Education wishes to discuss the following matters in a non-public closed meeting, with the resulting discussion being made public when a proper conclusion has been reached and there is no longer a need for confidentiality. Number 3, any matter the disclosure of which would constitute an unwarranted evasion of individual privacy unless the affected individual or his or her parent or guardian shall request in writing that the matter may be disclosed at a public meeting, coaching student matter.
Number 8 as well.
And number 8, any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, and the conditions of employment, evaluation, or disciplining of any specific employee, unless the individual employee requests in writing that the matter be discussed at a public meeting.
Possible appointment of teaching staff member.
Possible appointment of a teaching staff member. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education will hold a closed session, executive session immediately. It is anticipated that the closed session will not last longer than 30 minutes. Are we taking action or no action?
No.
No action will be taken.
Motion.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion to go into closed session. I'll never get that right.
So moved.
Second. Thank you, Mrs. Verdi. Thank you for the second, Mr. Campbell. Do I have to do roll call or all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yes, I was going to say.